I could tell the world just one thing, it would be all okay. Not to worry, 'cause we're tasteful and useless in times like these. Won't be made useless. Won't stand in like I don't care. I'll get myself around my feet to light the darkness out there. Happiness and laughter helps us create a peaceful world. Today, never after. No more fights, let's all unite. For some, we'll stand up for what's right. 'Cause where there's a child who has no voice, their eyes shall go singing. My hands are small.
That's Aaron Nigel Smith. You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Communication Nation Episode 3, Other Voices, Other Sounds. We've learned that many people talk without speaking words to each other. Our nonverbal communications send cues about what we're thinking. Sometimes people use physical languages, like American Sign Language. But other times, people just need support in order to speak. Tibbany Ho is a speech-language pathologist, just like our friend Marcy Laurel. But her job looks a little different. She's an assistive technology coordinator at Rio Rancho Public Schools in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, a suburb of Albuquerque. Her job focuses on helping kids use assistive technology to communicate.
Assistive technology in general is any device, program, or equipment that helps somebody with a disability be able to access their environment. And that can look differently depending on the person. Some people use what we call unaided forms of communication, like gestures, facial expressions, head nods. And then we have what we call aided, and that means they need some other device or system in front of them.
Tibbany told us that while some may not communicate with spoken languages, everybody has a voice. Alternative Assistive Communication, or AAC, makes sure that people can use it.
People that are using augmentative communication are communicating and using their form of communication in the same ways that we all communicate.
That system could be simple and low tech, a pencil and paper, a board used to write words, or a book with pictures to point at.
And then we have our high-tech communication systems, which might look like an iPad, again with picture symbols, but when they press it, it might open to more pages and give them access to more vocabulary.
People of all ages and backgrounds rely on high-tech speech assistants. Congresswoman Jennifer Wexton made history as the first sitting congressperson to give a speech at the United States House of Representatives using speech technology.
Mr. Speaker, last year I was diagnosed with progressive supranuclear palsy, or PSP. PSP makes it very difficult for me to speak, and I use an assistive app so that you and our colleagues can understand me.
Why might somebody need to rely on assistive speech technology? How does it help?
Some people don't develop speech the same way that we do, or they might be difficult to understand. Sometimes we have people with language differences too. In our school district, we have universal communication boards in the classroom that we use with all of our students, including students with disabilities, students that come from other countries that speak different languages that are having a hard time expressing their communication with others. So using it in a more universal way to be able to connect with each other. Even as technology is getting better and better, you think about your phones, if you've ever used Siri and Alexa, right? It could be used and considered a piece of assistive technology to help somebody access something. That's a tool that a lot of us use all the time. And the words people are using with assistive technology are the same words that we use too.
Over time, we've also developed more detailed picture symbols to use in speech assistance.
For example, if I have a picture of a house, and I'm pointing to the picture of the house, that could mean a lot of things, right? That could mean something happened at home that I want to tell you about, or I want to go home.
Today, speech tools encompass far more than simple images. At Rio Rancho Public Schools, Tibbany says there are detailed communication boards in classrooms and even on the playground.
We're talking about your pronouns like I, you, he, she. It's verbs and action words, describing words. These are the boards that we have up around our school. And we've found that not only is it supporting students that need that for communication and speech, but also who might come from other languages and have language differences that make it difficult to communicate in the classroom. They're using the boards too to communicate with their teachers and their peers.
Whether we're using body language, sign language, or AAC, having access to nonverbal communication brings us closer. We can share our feelings and ideas more easily, but there might be differences in the way communication happens when two people aren't vocally speaking. A conversation might take longer. It could have a different rhythm, or it could require pauses.
You know, as a communication partner, there are some good things to kind of keep in mind if you're talking to somebody that uses assistive technology. It definitely takes more time to create a message. So being patient when you're talking to somebody who's using assistive technology is a good strategy.
When we're patient, we're kind. And when we're kind, we have the best communication together. We listen without judgment, and we can learn so much from each other. You've been hearing from Tibbany Ho. She's the assistive technology coordinator at Rio Rancho Public Schools in New Mexico. Communication Nation Episode 3, Other Voices, Other Sounds, is part of a larger podcast series of short-form podcasts for teachers to use this series in the classroom. We have learning guides and activities posted at childrenshour.org. Look for Communication Nation. We have time for just one more here on the Children's Hour. We're going to go out with Frances England. This is from Blink of an Eye. Tell me it all, and I hope you will.
Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes you cry. Sometimes it's not. so easy to be young, to be small, to be you. And sometimes you just need a friend to sit down beside you, who won't talk, who won't ask, who'll just wait for you. I'll wait for you to tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all, tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all. Sometimes people say things they don't mean, act unkind and soon regret it. But I know it's hard to take and forget it. And sometimes you just need a friend to sit down beside you, who won't talk, who won't ask, who'll just wait for you. I'll wait for you to tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all, tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all, tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all, tell me it all. Tell me it all, you can tell me it all. Tell me it all.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, playlists, learning guides, and activities for every episode at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with Christina Stella. We had production help from Mackenzie Gronke, Sarah Gabrielli, and Daniel Lentz. Chad Shear recorded us at Outpost, and Amber Scheel writes our learning guides. Find the ones for this show at childrenshour.org. Look for Communication Nation.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.